Yeah.
So we'll wait for. I mean, like, so welcome to the Battlefront trailer. No, so this is actually Star Wars journalism, and you can tell, like, a group of, I don't know, we're all Star Wars journalists of one stripe or another, and we'll all introduce ourselves quickly if we'll start on the end. Eric, you're first.
For one.
We all love each other a lot.
Yeah. Hello, I'm Eric Geller. I write for TheForce.net and do some podcasting on the ForceCast Network, and I'm also on Twitter a lot. And in my day job, I am an editor and a politics reporter for a news website called The Daily Dot.
My name is Chris Taylor. I'm crashing this panel. I'm the deputy editor of Mashable and the author of How Star Wars Conquered the Universe. And if anyone likes, I could describe the Battlefront trailer. Yeah. It opens on Endor.
We have to do sound effects, though, so...
Pew, pew!
I'm Amy Ratcliffe. I write for the StarWars.com blog. I'm a Star Wars insider, and I do the Full of Sith podcast and the video podcast called The Comlink as well.
I'm Tracy Duncan. I write for ClubJ.net, and in real life, I work for a daily newspaper on the Breaking News desk, which explains a lot.
They have newspapers?
Yeah.
Like they print it with ink?
Yeah, for now.
Okay. And I'm Brian Young. I write also like 9/10 of what Amy does is actually applicable to me. I'm like that much of Amy and then you're that much better. Serious.
Aww, thank
you. No, so I write for StarWars.com and Star Wars Insider and I co-host Full of Sith with Amy. And Full of Sight. Yes. Full of Sight.
I'm going to go reserve that website right now.
And I cover Star Wars for a lot of other websites, too. I've been doing coverage for Huffington Post on Star Wars for years now and Big Shiny Robot. And I want to have this panel to talk about, like, what it's like being on this end of it, having to do interviews and cover things from the journalist perspective. And so people have a better understanding of what they're reading and how they're reading what they're reading, and what they should believe and what they should absolutely not under any circumstance believe. And so I think the first thing that would be really interesting is to have a conversation about what is actually confirmed. Like, what does confirmed mean?
Which should not be a conversation we have to have, but we do.
How often do you guys read headlines? It's like, confirmed. And then the rest of the headline is a wildly unsubstantiated rumor.
And then you click the link and it says, you know, according to, you know, this website, you click that link to the source, and they don't have any source for their story. You just have to trace it back and you find nothing eventually. It's very nihilistic.
In a day and age where the internet runs rampant and clicks are tiring work, no one wants to trace things back to the source. So I'd actually like to know from each of you what's the most ridiculous, wild speculation that's been reported as fact or confirmed that each of you have seen and how you would have written the report differently. Start with Eric, and then we'll just go.
All right, let me see. I can't really say that I remember how much it was reported as fact. I will say the most ridiculous rumor I heard, which was actually one of the first rumors about The Force Awakens. Way back in 2013, someone said that a disciple of Palpatine would be the star of the movie and that he would resurrect Palpatine. You know, they're going for that whole Dark Empire, cloned emperor thing. And I saw a bunch of sites pick it up. It was from some site called Cosmic Book News, which is the source of a lot of these stories that sort of just come out of the ether. And, you know, the problem with this is it sort of goes up the chain. It starts with a no-name site, and then it gets to a site that has a sizable, you know, readership within Star Wars. And then one of those people will be a journalist for a mainstream outlet, and they'll see the story, and they'll assume, hey, I read this site, they're posting about it, so there must be something to it. I'm going to bring it to my site, and pretty soon it's on CNN. And there's no sourcing. You click all the way back to Cosmic Book News or whatever it is, and you kind of wonder, how does this happen? So it's very sad.
Clickbait is how it happens.
I mean, yeah.
You know, you say the Force Awakens. I think you mean the Ancient Fear.
Yes.
We all remember that. That was
The letters were right. It's just different order. So you should give them some credit.
There you go. Well, that one actually came. I think
That was from
Harry Knowles had a pun.
But he also reported that Attack of the Clones was confidently 100% for sure confirmed going to be called the Creeping Fear.
Wow.
He just really likes the word fear.
Yeah.
Fear.
The something fear. Like, if there's a rumor about a Star Wars title Harry Knowles is going to start, it's going to be the something fear.
It's consistently wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, and he'd actually, I mean, his basis for this was that he had put the title to J.J. Abrams, and J.J. had not said that it wasn't that. Which, you know, that's part of the problem that we're dealing with, a large and very secretive organization and a very, 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 very secretive director. So a lot of stuff is going to rush in to fill that vacuum. So, but at the same time, that sort of coincided with this era of clickbait, which I actually think we're at the high point, and we may have tailed off, because I think a lot of sites are realizing that clickbait doesn't work. And in fact, I've pioneered this concept of the hate click, which is where you click on something, but you really wish that you could take that click back. And I think that sites realize that because they start to see that readership over the long term tails off if they do that.
I think the only site that's going to work for in the long term is Clickhole.
Yes.
Yeah. I think too, though, the term clickbait is very abused. Like, everything on the internet is clickbait in one way or another. They want you to click on it. But they're just the blatant, like, you know, which common household cleaner, you know, blah, 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 stuff you get from the evening
which
news.
Which common household cleaner? I would be Clorox bleach.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I took that poll. I would be Clorox bleach.
But I do think it's definitely overused, especially in the case of people who are, you know, just reporting what's out there. And it all depends on, you know, how you read it.
Well, using confirmed when it's not confirmed.
Yeah.
That is definitely clickbait.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite instance was back when Clone Wars was getting canceled. Mm-hmm. And everyone was saying, no, it's not getting canceled. It's just getting moved to Disney XD. It's just getting moved to Disney XD. And, I mean, I wrote an editorial saying, like, you need to be prepared for the idea that it's not going to move to Disney XD because that's what everybody's reporting. And everyone was reporting it not as that someone actually told them this, but that it was just an assumed fact. And it was going back and tracing all the articles down to the sources, it was really people just saying, like, well, logically, it should move to Disney XD, so that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's this question of what is a rumor and what is speculation? A rumor is, you know, we're going to bring them up eventually, so let's just do it now. Jason Ward from Making Star Wars saying, you know, I know these people, and they say that this is what the trailer is going to look like, and here's, you know, A, B, C, D, and he was right. And, he, you know, if you watch that trailer, he was right. That's a rumor. That's him saying, I have somebody who knows what they're talking about, and they're telling me this. But what you're talking about is, and it's phrased often, you know, not very artfully, so it sounds like a rumor, but this is really just someone saying, well, this would make sense.
Yeah,
and you have to be really explicit about how you attribute, you know, even if you can't say, you know, a Lucasfilm official speaking on background, even if you just have to say someone who knows what they're talking about, you got to make it clear that this is not just you, because, yeah, I'm not going to pick up anything that anybody says on any site if it's just them saying, this makes sense, this seems like it could be a thing.
But it's interesting to note, too, that sometimes, like, sometimes we will hear things from people that can't go on the record as that person with knowledge, and you have to write it as an assumption to make it seem as though it's just you, and then you'll get us all talking behind the scenes going, oh, by the way, I did actually hear this from somebody, I'm not just making it up.
Yeah, we do talk a little, and that happened with me at the rumor that got me recently was when it was so, everybody was so positive, Tatiana Maslany was going to be in what we now know as Rogue One, but there were so many sites that, and it was just like that inside sources and a few sites, but they just put in the headline, like, she is going to be in it, and I'm like, you mean she's reported, like, maybe she'll be in it. So it's like this very, like, just one or two words makes such a difference when you write those headlines.
Well, especially depending on the source. I mean, that was the Hollywood Reporter. They've been pretty good about Star Wars in recent years. So when they say something, people pick it up, and especially as you're saying, it was just that she had gone in for a test run, basically. Nobody said that it was a mortal lock. But you have people saying, well, if the Hollywood Reporter is saying this, then it must be absolutely true, no matter how they phrased it. And some people just read the first graph of a story. They just read the lead, and they don't go down a couple more paragraphs to when they say, you know, this comes to us from her agent or something. And, of course, agents always say that people are reading for projects because it makes them noticed.
Yeah.
That's why everyone was in the trades right when Force Awakens was being cast, because every agent and their cousin was like, yep, I sent some clients in there to read for that. And it was, those are all completely true reports. I think everybody and their cousin probably read for that. In fact, I think that's probably where the Zack Snyder's doing a Seven Samurai Star Wars remake. That was back when they were talking to every director under the sun, and I have no doubts that Zack Snyder showed up and pitched them a movie and wanted to do something Seven Samurai-like, and his agent said, like, he's looking at Star Wars, this is what we're thinking. And of course people are going to run that, because people are going to look at it, but that doesn't make it so, thank God.
Yeah, how many times has that first spin-off been about Boba Fett or young Anakin?
A lot of Boba Fett fans here in the audience.
Yeah, like five different people are going to play Boba Fett this time.
Well, I even think the Boba Fett thing comes down to people want to believe things. And that's another piece of this is, you know, when you're talking about reporting on Star Wars as opposed to, you know, like politics or sports, there's such a drive to see, you know, this fake world depicted the way you want it to be, that you sort of let your shields down a little bit, and you're more willing to believe rumors that make sense to you because it's what you want to see, and so everything is sort of aligning with your vision. Of course they're going to do a Boba Fett film. This makes sense. You know, they're always going to do one. This must be true.
Well, yeah. I think that's why early on we saw a lot of the EU-based stuff. Like, oh, it's Jason and Jaina. Oh, it's, you know, this and that. Because that's what people knew, and that's what people really thought they wanted.
Confirmation bias.
Yes, exactly.
In journalism as it is in science.
Yeah, and that's back to the Rogue One, because I would love to see Tatiana Maslany, and I'm like, yes, she's going to be in it. That would be amazing. And she could play every, you know, insert clone joke here. You have to really step, like, I have to do that sometimes when I'm writing, be like, okay, look at the facts. Like, even though you're super excited about this possibility, you know, you have to trace it back and be very careful of that you don't let your own...
And sometimes that can be disappointing. I remember back when the Blu-rays were coming out, I'd received a report and someone had sent me a link to a version of the no that gets added to Return of the Jedi. And there was no way I believed it. I was like, there's no way they did this to the movie. That's just, it doesn't make sense. It's not going to happen. And I did some asking around and they confirmed, in fact, it was. And this was a day after I wrote, like, I completely don't believe this, a piece that said, like, no, why would they do this? This doesn't make sense. And then the next day I had to write a piece saying, like, actually, I've talked to people, and that is, in fact, the case, and I'm sorry, and now I have to come to terms with this.
And, yeah, I think that's the thing a lot of people don't get, is sometimes the news or, you know, things change from one day to the next. You know, maybe yesterday this was not plausible at all. Today it's plausible because of some new information that came out.
And especially when it's based on scripts. I mean, how many times does it get rewritten, a character gets added, an entire plot twist gets taken out, and it's very difficult to know, did this person make this up? Were they lied to? Were they told the truth, you know, from a certain point of view? Because you don't have that script. You don't have the drafts of the script. You can't go into Google Docs and see, you know, okay, well, on this date it was changed, so they were right at the time. It's very hard to trace it back.
I'm so excited to go back. Like, I'm trying to remain as spoiler-free as possible as a journalist that I can get. And I'm so excited on December, like, 20th to go back and read all of the...
I'm saving all the links.
Yeah.
Go back and click them all and see, okay, who
is... And I'm listening... How many of you guys listen to Bobby Roberts' Rumor Control episodes on Full of Sith? I don't listen to them. But that's, like, the first thing I'm going to do as soon as the movie comes out and I see it.
It's a good thing he's not doing that many of them.
Yeah. No, I really like Bobby's take, and he just does not care about spoilers. I don't know what's wrong with that guy.
Well, there was, I mean, you know, we should probably deal with this fact. People want spoilers, and there have been studies in, you know, the psychology of how people approach stories, and it turns out the majority of us actually enjoy a story better if we know some details in advance.
Trailers.
Yeah, that's the some details.
Well, yeah, the question is, where does the sum...
Like, where's the line?
Where is the line? Yeah. Where's it for?
Yeah, because I think there's one thing to know these things, and especially since so much of what we're getting is maybe based on concept art, which is just totally unreliable.
Yeah.
But there's just something about knowing. I mean, I'm a spoiler. I read all of them. I might not type all of them out, but I read all of them. And just, I kind of like having this ongoing, it's always changing, you know... In 2 weeks, I'll have a totally different impression of the movie than I would have, you know, 2 weeks ago, because it's just great. I love it.
So, if anybody here wants to ask questions, there is a mic in the center of the stage, so we'll totally take some questions. You, sir, jumped up quickly for that.
Uh-oh. Well, hello?
Hey.
Did you just say December 20th?
Well, yeah, I'm going to go see the movie for like 2 days straight.
don't even try to reach Brian during those 2 days.
Yeah, no, my phone's going to be off.
Sorry, I've been out of touch, so I haven't seen the release date. So
December 12, December 18th.
If he's still 18th, he's going to see it for 2 days straight and then go back and check all the rooms.
Okay.
He was so concerned.
No, the movie was not delayed 2 days.
Breaking news.
Yes. But a more serious question. It's
coming out of the Battlefront panel right now, actually.
Okay.
But a more serious question goes back to the nature of journalism in general. I remember back in the old days that journalists would take weeks and months to write a compelling story, get all the facts right, go to like a third source like you mentioned or whatever. I think because of the speed of the internet today, the fact that we have these in our hands, everyone is compelled to get the news out immediately, whether it's true or not. And I'm just, maybe you have a comment about whether this has damaged truth.
Yes.
I think it has. Like, I really love seeing long format stuff. I think two of the best pieces I've seen in a long time are Eric's piece about his long format magazine piece about the switchover and the people who are like...
The Give Us Legends people.
And Chris's whole How Star Wars Conquered the Universe book. I think those are great pieces of journalism that we need more of, but yeah, the nature of the internet is that it's harder to deliver that more in-depth stuff. I don't know if you guys want to...
I kind of think they both fill different niches, where you do have your research stuff, and then you have the breaking news type stuff, which is basically what we're talking about here for the most part.
I think people are learning that. I mean, I think that, you know, part of what's happening with the internet is people are learning journalism all over again. You know, and it still doesn't necessarily pay you to be first with something if you haven't. So I'll give you an example. Couple of weeks before the digital release, I heard from a drunk Disney executive at South by Southwest. Nobody will be named. That
could be anybody. That describes anybody.
Well, there you go. I mean, everyone at South by. You know, so I had what I felt was a pretty solid lead on the digital delivery, but I was not going to post that, print that, do anything, you know, until I got confirmation from Lucasfilm. And also I ended up having this long conversation with Lucasfilm where I was like, look, I don't actually want to spoil this.
Yeah.
So can we just, you know, can we do a deal here? Give me something exclusive and I'll just do it when everyone else gets it.
That's an interesting thing too. Like, when that news broke, I didn't necessarily want to be first either. I wanted to find out some more details before I wrote it, because everyone's going to write the press release version, right?
Right.
That they're going to be there. They're going to be there Friday, and you know, even if it's something as simple as reaching out for a comment and finding out which versions of the movie it is, which actually cleared up a lot of confusion, because there were people out there saying like, "Nope, I'm hearing from people that Greedo's not going to shoot anymore."
Yeah, that was interesting. You never underestimate the importance of just asking someone at Lucasfilm, you know, a spokesperson, just get a comment. You know, on all these stories, all these rumors that fly around, for a while, you know, now they say, we're not going to confirm or deny anything, because, of course, if they deny something and then they don't deny this thing, that's suggesting. But for a while there, they were responding and saying, that's not true. I remember there was a Star Wars Reclamation TV show popped up, actually, on theforce.net. Someone wrote it up and found it in our forums or whatever, and I asked someone at Lucasfilm, is this true? And they said, no, we've never seen this before. So we were able to say, you know, we got this wrong, but we're also going to be the ones to say, don't worry about this. If you don't like this, this is not actually a thing that's happening. And, you know, it's amazing how few people, we might be the only people, we at this table might be the only people who ever ask Lucasfilm, is what's going on here? Is this true? Is this false?
Yeah, and I would say even, like, I write also for Nerdist.com, and that is a very, like, when something happens, like, they want it up, like, as quickly as possible, because, you know, you get on that wave before it crashes, and you get those clicks. So it can be like a, do I have time to reach out for Lucasfilm? Like, how fast do I have to write this story? So it kind of, it's a challenge sometimes, and I think that you're correct in that. I feel like the internet has driven that, like, first is not always best, but sometimes, like, I try to be very diligent, but sometimes editors put a lot of, I don't want to say pressure, but a lot of emphasis on, like, we got to be first out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think more of those editors are realizing in the long term, if you look at those traffic reports, you do get more clicks if you are accurate rather than first. Mm-hmm. People care less about first than we in the industry think that they do.
Yeah. We care, but they people, just whatever comes across their Facebook, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hi, about Star Clone Wars, why did they kick Ahsoka out of the Jedi Academy?
You want me to call Dave?
Huh? I can call Dave. So, I believe I watched those episodes with you and we had that discussion.
Yeah, there's a question about Ahsoka and why she left.
She didn't get kicked out. They tried to bring her back in, and she left because she didn't feel like they trusted her.
They were tools, though, so they kind of did kick her out. Like, I would have gone back.
Would you wanna live in a place where everybody, like, no one trusts you and they wouldn't defend you in, like, a murder trial? Yeah.
Getting deep in Star Wars.
Stop planning questions.
I'm not going to...
By the way, it's Ahsoka Lives Day.
Your day will come.
Just saying. So,
yes,
like,
and
you're too
thank
late.
You, Scout, for wearing your Ahsoka yes. for Ahsoka Lives Day.
Yes, I have the same question, but I want to change it because I was so concerned about that character. So, my question is about how can you play with Lucasfilm, because they are the official source, yeah? And you have to work with them in the future and in the present. If you have a rumor, and maybe you're going to spoil a thing that Lucasfilm is going to release later, and you talk a little bit about it, but how can you maintain your public relationship with Lucasfilm without spoiling or saying something that maybe they're going to say, oh, come on, you have not thought, we don't like that you're talking about this thing?
This is actually something I've thought a lot about, because in my day job, we write about senators and, you know, people. There's like actual public interest reporting in the world where they can't just simply say, we're going to stop talking to you, because then you get to say that they're not commenting, they're not talking to the press, and that looks terrible for them. They're public servants, they have to talk to you. Star Wars is very different. This is not, you know, they don't have to worry about the kinds of issues from the press, from us, that, you know, members of Congress do if they simply ignore questions, because this is not as much fun as this is, to be real for a second here. This is not, you know, reporting in the public interest. You know, democracy does not hang on what we write. Yeah. And so we have to bow down in a way to what the, you know, whether it's Lucasfilm or the toy manufacturers, you know, all these companies that, you know, there's a lot of ethical parts of what we are doing here that are so very different from what, you know, professional, political, foreign policy, that kind of journalism entails.
The Galactic Senate hangs on what we write here.
Yes, well, okay. So elections in a fictional universe turn on what we say.
For me, part of it is that I'm not actively out seeking rumors and spoilers, and when I do come across stuff that I think should be reported on, it's not me saying, hey, this guy handed me a leak and I'm taking it out. It's me saying, this site is reporting that these people leaked this stuff to them, and there's no way, I don't think Lucasfilm would be holding me responsible for reporting on that leak. In fact, I mean, there's sometimes where that happens and I ask Lucasfilm for comment, and then they'll confirm it and say, please just hold the story for a few days and we'll give you an image or something. So, like, that happened with Quinlan Vos. There was, I'd heard that there were some rumors, and I asked if Quinlan Vos was going to be on Clone Wars. And they said, yes, but please, can you stay off the story for, like, a week, and we'll give you some images to use for it. And I think that the story, with the confirmation, with the images of Quinlan Vos, and I think there was a clip, too, served everyone who was, it served the audience better than me just regurgitating the rumor. Because A, it was confirmed by that point. B, there was something actually tangible to look at. And it was me playing nice with everybody. I was reporting on the rumors. I was going to them for further information. And then we got a better story for everybody to read.
There's a lot of give and take in this kind of relationship. And it's as true of Lucasfilm as it is with Apple, which is another, you know, very secretive
company.
You
want their products, you want review copies, and you want to be able to get access to what they're working on.
But at the same time, they understand, they live in the real world as well. Yeah. They understand what we have to do, and I think they just want you to come to them and run it past them and just not, you know, be a tool about it.
Don't be a tool. That's kind of the number one rule.
Yeah.
Takeaway.
That's what we're learning. Yeah.
But I've done stuff like take for other movies. Take Scott Pilgrim for instance. Someone leaked a copy of the script. I read it and I absolutely loved the leaked copy of the script. And I wrote a review of the script. I don't think I'd do that today, but that happened. The producers contacted me and they were very nice. And they were like, "Hey, we really love that you loved the script, but if you take that down." We can get you into some press junkets later and cover it. We can give you a statement just saying that, like, it's not the script you got is not the current draft. It's not accurate to what it is. We're happy that you love it, but that's not what it is anymore. And I played nice with them, and then ended up getting a whole bunch of interviews later. They understand the nature of what we're doing, and I don't think they hold it against any of us personally, unless we're like, you know. Playing the Star Wars equivalent of Edward Snowden.
Yeah. But, like, look at how that looks versus how it would look for, you know, I mean, not get political, but, you know, back in what was it, 2004, 2005, you know, the New York Times held a big story about a Bush administration program, you know, till after the election, and they basically prevailed on them to say, look, don't publish this now. This is very important that we not put this out there right now. And they were raked over the coals for that. And to this day, we still don't know exactly what the evidence was that they needed to hold it. But we're talking about something that's sort of the Star Wars version of that. It's like, look, don't put this out there now. We need to get this in a form where it's okay for the public to know. It's completely different for us to do that here. That is not something that you could really get away with and survive, you know, without people remembering that. That's a big part of what the Times was like back then.
As much as we treat entertainment journalism as political journalism,
it's
still entertainment journalism.
It does not have that same weight at all.
Thank you.
Can I actually pause really quick,
please,
if you don't mind? I want to mention, like, to just define confirmed.
Yes. Okay. Defining confirmed.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we all have. I think we're all pretty much on the same board. But confirmed is Star Wars, like Lucasfilm or Disney, making an official press announcement saying this is. And sometimes there can be gray areas, like. Ryan Johnson.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, but it's like a primary
for like 3 months. His agent said he was on the movie, and Lucasfilm hadn't said anything until like what was it last month? You know when
No. Actually, they actually put on a YouTube link. Like so, Star Wars put up. Put up a YouTube video.
The ice thing.
And it said in the caption, right?
Yeah.
But they still didn't issue a press release.
They still didn't issue a press release, but because it came from an official source, we said like, he's doing it because the Star Wars YouTube.
Yeah.
Like nothing there happens by accident. So I think that's does that answer your question?
Anyway? Yeah, I just want to make, because I still hear from people like people will send me stuff on Twitter and be like, "Oh, did you see this?" I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, "Is that official?" I'm like, "Does it say Lucasfilm or Disney?" No, it's not official. But I'm surprised by how many people don't like they, like you know it's kind of what we went back to earlier. Like they might just be so excited about something they don't realize. But
my favorite is. Regal Cinemas, their Twitter account. Does anybody here follow Regal on Twitter? Because
if
you know what
Star
I'm talking
Wars
about.
Films.
Every single time a rumor comes out there, and to be fair, some of these were clearly true, they just weren't confirmed yet, but every single time something big comes out about Star Wars, Regal Cinemas will tweet it out and say, like, this is happening, isn't this cool? And often it's about The Force Awakens, which is a movie that Regal will distribute in its theaters, so you would think that if you're following them on Twitter and they say something, that it's the result of conversations with Disney and Walt Disney Studios, and you would think that that's real. This Twitter account has a verified check mark. It's a theater chain. How is this not real? But some person in their office just really likes Star Wars and likes to tweet about it. But you have to imagine that that's not getting cleared, because what Regal executive would say, yeah, this is fine. I'm sure nobody at Lucasfilm will be bothered that we're just, you know, treating this like it's confirmed and we're a major theater chain. So that's my little Regal rant there.
You, sir, have a question.
Hi. Yeah. It's very nice to see somebody up there who actually works for a newspaper. We still exist out here. My question is involved with that in terms of, you know, you've talked about how the internet sort of accelerates everything and maybe makes people not check their sources. But what I am seeing from the other end, and maybe you can confirm or deny this, but are the official sources, you know, Disney, Lucasfilm, kind of moving away from even dealing with typical print media? Because it seems to me, you know, we have 4 or 5 pages in a newspaper, I'm not going to say what newspaper I work for,
but it's an entertainment section. I can't go to my editor and say, we're going to spend five of them on Star Wars. They're going to laugh me off. But so, you know, in the run-up to this event here, I tried to get in touch with everybody that I had a contact for. Nobody responded. Nobody has set up anything. And this has been a typical thing. And I'm wondering if on the production end, they are now concentrating on these big kind of focused fan sites. Millions of people on the internet are watching it, and they really don't want to deal with print journalists anymore. And if that's the case, what do you do to get past that barrier?
I think part of it is, I get the impression that it's the reason they have that bias toward internet reporting is because it's really easy for them to show their superiors that there's some evidence of that.
Mm-hmm. They don't have to wait. Well, I mean, we post everything online. Every print thing goes online for us. And I'm not in the entertainment section, but I have actually gone over to the entertainment section and told them when there's Star Wars news, because I'm on it because of the blog.
Well, and of course, and the wonderful thing about the web is now we're running a bunch of web-only stories that won't fit into the paper. But it's about, you know, getting them to actually return your phone calls and, you know, respond to your emails and set up interviews.
I'll be honest, sometimes they're not the best at responding to my emails.
Yeah, I will say there's an interesting dynamic where you have the fan sites like the Force.net and, you know, Big Shiny Robot, you know, your site, and Club Jade, all these sites that are sort of for the Star Wars fan. And then there's sites like Entertainment Weekly, whose, you know, lead reporter just hosted the Force Awakens panel. You have, even I would put Mashable in this category of mainstream entertainment, whether it's a trade or whether it's just an online publication. Lucasfilm really prioritizes the trades and the entertainment, the general entertainment site, because their goal, if you guys are Star Wars Rebels fans, you remember when they revealed all the characters that were going to be in the main cast, and each one went to a different website, and they were all major mainstream entertainment sites, because they know that everybody in this room and everybody who reads our sites is already going to watch Star Wars Rebels, is already going to go see The Force Awakens 50,000 times. They don't need the people who read our sites. They want a lot of the people who read Mashable. Now, many Mashable readers are Star Wars fans, obviously, because your Star Wars stories do great. Many of them are not huge Star Wars fans, and this is the same thing with Entertainment Weekly. Variety is another big one. USA Today. How many stories have gone to USA Today? It's like, all right, they get 90% of the stories. They are one of the biggest outlets in the world.
Yeah, I think they're just focusing on the big guys.
They want the people who aren't already going to be in the theaters, and that's why, you know.
That does actually give print media an advantage, I think.
Right, that's what I'm saying. New York Times gets some stuff. I mean, New York Times can call up George Lucas's publicist, or, you know, now Kathleen Kennedy's publicist, and get an interview in probably an hour. I mean, we can't do that.
I mean, it does. You do have the power in the sense that you have a lot of readers.
You're not the New York Times, obviously, but, you know.
I'm a major New York newspaper.
Can I ask you, is it the New York Times?
It is not the New York Times.
But your readers could, I mean, your majority of your readers are not necessarily Star Wars fans, right?
No, of course not.
I mean, I would say the thing to do with Lucasfilm is to be persistent, to have multiple PR contacts, because they are stretched thin and they are stretched around the world. And, you know, often, like, you know, the main guy I talk to is often in Japan and will not respond to my emails for 3 weeks at a time. You know, they're as busy as we are, if not busier, so it's just a case of persistence, building a relationship as it is with any
Twitter. Twitter's helped a lot with that. I just need a simple yes or no sometimes, and I'll just direct message somebody on Twitter and get really short, flippy answers way faster than I'll get responses to email. People are drowning in email. I think we're going to start going the other way on email, too.
Yeah. I'll pass that along. Thanks.
I remember I tweeted Tracy Canobio, who is the publicist for Star Wars Rebels, if you watch Star Wars Rebels, you'll know that when Ezra first meets Agent Kallus, he identifies himself as Jabba the Hutt. And for a while, I thought that Kallus just didn't know who this guy was. Why would it be in his purview? It's not necessarily the same sector. He's not the biggest celebrity in the galaxy. And so I thought that Kallus, you know, believed him and was sort of calling him by this name as that's your name. And I tweeted at Tracy when they did it again. She said, no, he was being sarcastic. He's humoring him, but he knows that this is not Jabba the Hutt. And that's a little thing, but that's not something that I could have done 5-10 years ago, get an answer that quickly in a way I can then embed that tweet in my story. Everybody can see it. You know, that's the other thing. I mean, I'm sure you've gotten emails from people who say, like, well, how do you know that they said this? Or, you know, can you prove that you got this email from this publicist confirming this to you? It's so easy on Twitter because it's all public. I can just embed that tweet and you can see right there that this person said this.
Hey guys, thank you for having this panel. I'm a journalism student, so Kelsey Northridge. Just any advice for someone who's looking into going to Star Wars journalism? I already do, I guess, mainstream things, but any advice for someone who's looking to do essentially what you guys are doing right now?
For me, I just started doing it on my own. Like, Big Shiny Robot was just, like, my own website, and I just started reviewing Clone Wars when it started, and then Lucasfilm found me, and back then, no one else was writing. I think even, like, the
no,
first
I started
then,
season two, you were
yeah,
the first one.
Yeah, I started season two.
And it was just like, well, no one else is reviewing every episode of the show, but now it's almost like everyone's reviewing every episode of everything.
Yeah.
It was just doing it and getting on Twitter and getting on the radar and talking to people and being at places like this and talking to all the people doing that, and then finding the editors who are actually going to pay you for stories to do this kind of stuff and be persistent with them. When I was trying to get into Star Wars Insider, I was pitching stories to the editor for 2 years before he finally bought one. And that was me just going, like, believing him at face value when he said, no, those are great ideas, I just can't use them right now. And, you know, Insider's pretty, it's pretty themed every month, and so sometimes when I'm like, I want to write about Jar Jar, they're like, we don't have room for that.
How many
right
times
now.
Have you pitched that, by the way?
I actually
5,000.
I just sold a piece about Jar Jar too.
Okay, there we go. See, we're breaking some news here. We don't need the battle right now.
So yeah, be persistent. I don't know, you guys have anything else?
I would say, I don't even know if this is possible anymore, but I would say find a niche that is not well served. This is kind of how our blog started. There were no sites that were really doing EU stuff. None. The EU news. TFN would occasionally, but it wasn't like a regular thing. So that's how we started, just doing the EU stuff, eventually expanded. I kind of overextended. I did games for a while, and I realized I hate games, and it was just not going to happen. But yeah, find something, just keep on. And the hardest part really is not starting, it's keeping on with it.
Hmm.
And yeah, you definitely. Just have to keep up. And, you know, get on Twitter and everyone else has said. But, yeah, I would definitely find something that you are especially passionate about and go off on that.
Yeah, and don't be disheartened. I mean, I think that the playing field has never been more level with Twitter and Facebook being the main vector for how people get their news, you know, increasingly, Facebook especially. You know, you've seen the names of the publications that pop up in your Facebook feed, and you probably don't recognize half of them, and half of them are, you know, it's one guy in his bedroom, and it's just because that story looked appealing, it got shared, and that's all you need these days. You don't need access to a printing press anymore. You know, we're in a different world, so keep plugging away at it.
Yeah, and I have another suggestion, especially when you're starting out, like, there are a lot of Star Wars fan sites out there. I mean, like Club Jade, Force.net, Star Wars Report, coffee with, like, a lot of places will do news or stories, and if you're just, like, kind of starting and wanting to get, like, you know, more Star Wars related work out there, maybe, like, contact them and offer to do a guest post. Like, obviously you don't want to do that forever because it's a lot of work and they're not going to pay you, but, you know, it's not a bad idea to kind of, you'll get to know those people and build up your contacts within the Star Wars community as well.
Yeah, sometimes they're actively looking for people.
That's what
we
need.
Say
is, yeah, we put out a request for book reviewers a while back, and one of the people who wrote in to just ask if he could help review books was Justin Bolger, who we then had start writing some news for us, and then he became a fill-in co-host on the Forcecast, and now he is the lead host of the Forcecast just because we said, yeah, your writing looks good, come review books. And from then, he was persistent. He said, hey, can I also take this on? You know, the other thing is, this is not, none of us get paid. This is not like a thing where we have like a newsroom and resources. Like, if you want to help out and you demonstrate that you're good at what you want to do, every site is always going to be happy to take a look at that and to have you take on, you know, responsibilities, and then you can say, look, I'm building up connections here. I think I could get you this interview, or I think I could go to this event and review it. That's another big thing. We have people who go to events and say, can I cover this for the Forcecast? And that's fantastic for us. Otherwise, we just wouldn't have coverage. And we get to know people as friends because they help us out in these ways. That's a great way in.
Thank you.
Hello. As a youth spokesperson for Scopes Canada, a writer, and a high school student, I was wondering for how I could get more involved in public relations and journalism.
They have public relations internships at Lucasfilm, and I know because one of my friends is looking at those. If you're interested in Star Wars specifically, Disney and Lucasfilm, they have these internships. You can apply for them. Typically, it's just in their California studios, so I don't know. That's sometimes tough. But you can also go to the licensees. You know, you can work at companies that work with Lucasfilm. If you're interested in Star Wars specifically, it's really just about relationships. And so if you do this work at a company where your boss knows the boss at another company, you have an in there. And, you know, you can sort of work your way up to bigger companies on the strength of your work and also on the strength of who you know. So I guess my advice is kind of what I've done is, you know, just start anywhere and make sure that the work you're doing demonstrates that you could do that at a bigger outlet if they offered you a job.
Thank you.
What Eric said.
Yeah.
Morning. You guys have talked about Twitter and stuff, and between that, other social media, article commenting, there's a lot more direct feedback from readerships and even not readerships getting brought to an article than there ever was in the past. And I was wondering how you find that affects your approach to articles and your writing, and both good and bad effects of it on your approach to those things.
I put a lot more background in now than I used to on posts. When I first started, I assumed you all knew the same things I do. And now I realize that if I don't, someone's going to go in the comments and go, blah, 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 this is actually blah, blah, blah. So I started getting really annoyed by that when people start lecturing me on Star Wars. So, yeah, I do a lot more background and linking back, and just so that people know that, you know, this is not the last thing there. This is a part of a series of news that's come out. So that's pretty much my
opinion. And that's also because, I mean, your site started out as a place where everybody who sort of knew a certain group of things could go and talk about other things. And now, as with every other site, there's just so many more people coming in who don't have that same context.
Exactly. It's the whole con. You know, I remember when the movies were first announced, someone came in our comments and was like, well, what about the books? We've been writing about the books for like 10 years.
Where have you been?
You know,
what are books?
What about this?
Well, see, that's a good reason. I don't read the comments typically, except on my own personal website. I just don't. One of its time, and one is, you know, I don't necessarily have a thick skin. But people will come to me to Twitter sometimes and tell me like, oh, you forgot to mention blah blah blah, or they'll be like, you spelled this wrong, because Star Wars. I mean, I understand that. Like, people spell Wookiee wrong, I get really upset because.
I spell cookie wrong now.
There's a
great. Like, yeah, the other way with it.
There's actually a really great Twitter account called the Star Wars Stylebook, which has grammar and spelling tips. And I think Tracy can talk a little bit about that because it's her Twitter.
And that's
account.
An important, like, but I'll go my quick rant first. Like, yes, it's a fictional universe. Yes, things have ridiculously long names, sometimes apostrophes. But if you're writing about it as a journalist, if it's regardless, it's Star Wars, it's Marvel, whatever, take 2 minutes. Double check your spellings. Don't put up an article with Wookiee spelled with one E. Like, it's not just that you're not, it's like you're a journalist. Like, that's stuff you should be double checking, even if you think it's ridiculous to do so.
Or extended universe.
Yeah. Or CP3O. I mean, who would do that?
Sometimes,
I don't understand.
Sometimes we'll have arguments, like, internally. Like, I remember when Tracy put up her AP style book or her Star Wars style book posts about how you spell Annie at its shortened version.
Oh my god, yes, we had this giant debate.
It took like weeks for us to get to the bottom of it.
Because it's spelled differently in official sources too. So we were like,
which one?
Which did it? Yeah, do we believe like the Clone Wars captions, or do we believe the book, you know, the
novelization?
Well,
the movie captions.
Yeah. It's crazy.
This is the nerdiest of the nerdy. Like, we're at a Star Wars celebration, and we're talking about how to spell Annie.
This two-fourths hardcore nerd.
I think we strayed a little from the question.
Yeah,
I think,
sorry.
Well, no, okay, so the comments, though, like, for me, I sadly do read the comments, even though they hurt sometimes. And not just about me, about, like, the topic or humanity in general. But sometimes that's a way for me to know, like, okay, if people are still thinking this idiotically about something, maybe I should focus on contextualizing that more for the audience so that these people coming in and saying all these hurtful things might understand better where nice people are coming from.
Yeah, like the whole Stormtroopers are clones thing that happened after the first trailer.
Well, I was thinking more like this is just the whole like diversity and that issue. Where,
especially when you go into those topics where people bring in preconceptions and they want Star Wars to look their way, they will let you know in the comments and in the emails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they, you know, the general rule is never read the comments, but I think that, well, I certainly read the comments, but you also just forget them very quickly if, you know, they're just comments from haters.
And
but
the more you read, the less they hurt. I have read newspaper comments, believe me. What we get is nothing.
How do they comment if it's, like, do they write in and mail it back to you?
No, we have a Facebook type thing where they comment. It's horrific.
So even newspapers are using
never go into it. We can't turn it off. Never go into it. Just don't. The more general a site, the less you want to read the comments.
Yeah.
So
I think Mashable's comments are probably more horrific just based on numbers than ours because your site is just so much bigger.
We actually have a very positive readership.
That's good. Sometimes sites will just develop cult, you know, followings, and everybody's in the comments all the time, and they're either nice or they're not.
And two, it depends on how heavily you moderate them.
Yeah.
Because we don't have time to. This is the reason our comments at work are horrific. Is we don't have time. I mean, if we know a story is gonna get really, really racist or whatever, we'll check in on it and we'll you know banish stuff, but we don't have time to file the comments in every. I think it's the New York Times. They only allow commenting on like 10 stories a day, and every one of those stories has a person reading them. Am I too close?
But if a comment or a tweet is positive and constructive, I think there's no question that it will filter through to us. We'll read it and we will, you know, it'll filter through to our thinking. We'll maybe adjust that story or the next story we do.
And to Brian's point, I mean, a lot of times somebody will say, okay, I liked your story, but what about this? And then that's an idea for a story right there.
Yeah.
We can go follow that up.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just stuff, bringing stuff to your attention you didn't know or care about before. Like, I will never, ever forget that Jango Fett once killed Gardula the Hutt in a video game. Ever.
Now none of us will either.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
No,
now I've learned I should read comments. Like, I feel like my whole life has changed.
Don't do it.
But you all are saying you're learning so much from comments. I feel like I'm missing out now.
That wasn't just comments. That was emails. That was tweets. That was angry Facebook messages.
So this was like a thing.
This was a thing. Like, in the Clone Wars, when Gardula the Hutt showed up, it was a clip that they'd given me to premiere, and Gardula the Hutt was in it. I didn't even think about it, right? Like, Gardula the Hutt's in it. That doesn't seem weird. And then I got inundated. Like, it was like an ambush. Like, maybe that's why they gave it to me, because they knew I'd be, like, the first person out there. But it was like, how is Gardula the Hutt here? Weren't you aware that she died in this video game? And it's like, no, I wasn't, actually.
And that gets back to the whole, like, again, in politics, there are always those hot-button topics. In Star Wars, the hot-button topics these days are, you know, what Dave Filoni does with the Mandalorians, or, you know, whether the Ewoks are blinking. And if you wade into those conversations, you're going to get people, depending on the side you take, who are very enthusiastic about what they say. And you see that in, you know, thank you for bringing up the story about, you know, Save the EU, because in writing that, I found that a lot of people were so disconnected from reality that they would take, you know, they'd take these comments to the Star Wars books page, to Dave Filoni's page, and it's all about, I think, to sort of go at your question of, like, how valuable is feedback, it has to be logical and respectful. Otherwise, people are going to tune it out, and they're going to dismiss you. They're not just going to not read your comment. Every time they see your name, they're going to say, that's the guy who said that you did something bad to my childhood. You know, that's the hyperbole guy. That's the guy who doesn't take this seriously and isn't respectful. And you see a lot of that in, again, on these hot button issues. Like, you know, Mandalore is not a peaceful planet. I can't believe Dave Filoni would do this. I'm going to go Photoshop, you know, his head on a spike. That happens. That's a thing that happens, and it's all about perspective. And I will
and
not
only,
read a comment from somebody who does that.
It only shows up in the comments. Like, no legitimate place is posting that way.
Yeah.
Unless Mashable
or
like, started taking up that
message boards.
Yes, Tracy's looking at me because the Force.net's forums are to the point of, you know, size, meaning there's a lot of people who have very strong feelings and there are a lot of different opinions. I think we have the biggest forums, which means that we have the largest number of people who say things you don't want to read. And we have moderators, but again, to this question about what's the value of comments, there are some threads that are really good and you can read them without cringing, and there are other threads where you just don't want to wade into them. And the bigger the forum, the more people you have to worry about.
Yeah. I used to moderate the StarWars.com forums, and the worst flame war I ever saw was over the bubbles on Star Destroyers. Worst flame war. Bubbles on Star Destroyers. I'm not kidding you. What
that's
did
still,
they do?
That's still not as nerdy as how you spell Annie. I'm just saying. That's the biggest
thing.
That was like a week-long saga.
Wait, I need to know how to spell Annie.
A-N-I.
There are two acceptable ways. We just decided, screw it, you can do it either way.
Got it.
That's the one question we can't answer today at this panel.
We decided we
can
do it twice, but that's not confirmed.
Yes, it's unconfirmed. Leland has not weighed in, so.
Okay. Thank you for your question.
Hi, I attended Brian's myth panel last night. Thank you so much. I think I was enlightened as far as Jar Jar's role, and
that's my job.
Total paradigm shift there, and I'm a little more open. It's been how many years since episode one?
16.
Yeah,
this is his niche.
This is his niche. Like, I'm the guy people go to for prequel enlightenment.
This guy went to this guy for his book.
That's right.
I was not surprised at all.
He has a whole chapter. I'm just talking to Brian.
True.
Along that line, I know you have this fascination with mythology and things like that. So how many of you on the panel use your own personal interests and other things that may be philosophy or politics to influence your writing? And do you find that adds more credibility as opposed to, oh, I think this movie sucks, and because, so if you have any other outside interests that fuel your writing.
For me, I really love films, and for Star Wars, what influences Star Wars is something that's always constantly fascinating to me, and that's, another little niche I've carved out for StarWars.com is, the movies that inspired Star Wars. And it's not difficult to get me to sit down and watch a movie, especially if somebody said, watch this moment, because George Lucas totally brought that into the universe, whether that's an episode of Clone Wars or the movies. That's definitely an outside interest I brought to this and mashed them together.
And that led to a whole series on StarWars.com,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is still ongoing.
Yeah.
I will also say, obviously it's my day job, but it's also, politics is just fascinating to me, and I am a huge fan of the prequels because I think it's really important and interesting the way that George Lucas basically explained how a society can fall apart if people don't care enough. And one of my favorite posts that I ever wrote for StarWars.com was about the decay of the Republic, and not just sort of what it says about Star Wars, but what he was trying to say about us. And, to your point about, it's not just saying this sucks, it's not just saying this is great, you can actually look at the parallels that he himself put in very consciously between, famous figures throughout history, like Hitler. He tried to build up Palpatine as an amalgam of a lot of different people, and that is not just because he was, he was lazy and he needed a template. He was trying to say something, and, to take that apart and say, these aren't just movies, these are lessons, these are basically warnings here. And it's not, warning, don't watch the prequels. It's warning, these movies have something to tell you, and it's important. And if you really think about it, you get a lot more out of them.
Yeah, and I go to a different, I guess maybe a little more superficial kind of, but I really am into fashion and costume design. So I like to look at how that, informs a character and decisions they make that tell you more about the character and their position in society and kind of what different planets look like. So that's a completely different angle, and maybe not, it's not as weighty as either of those, but it does inform me, when I think about, with Ahsoka and Rebels, the way she came back, what her outfit says about where her affiliations are now and how she's feeling. I think there's a lot of really interesting things there that I think about.
Yeah, I think every story should be driven by your curiosity. I mean, I had an editor who told me once that, look, you're, as the journalist, you're the canary in the coal mine. If you think this story is boring, then everyone else is going to, So if you put your passion and your curiosity into any story they're writing about, I was curious and passionate about how Star Wars has affected the wider mainstream culture, and that sort of, became how Star Wars conquered the universe, and all actually grew out of the impossible quest to find someone who had not only never seen Star Wars, but never heard any of the names, any of the characters, or didn't know any of the spoilers, and that that ballooned into this 450-page book. So, you know, it really is our job to follow our passion and our curiosity and our excitement. And if we're not, then I don't think we're being good journalists.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably last question, I think. I think we're running short on time, but let's go.
Thank you. Thank you so much for all your expertise and passion that you're sharing today. Really appreciate it. Regarding comments, just a quick suggestion. I guess maybe you can get an intern to read all the comments for you and sign them up. But the question I wanted to ask you was, you all have very long-standing relationships in this particular niche. How has Lucasfilm evolved over the years in terms of the way that they control and share information? Has it gotten more sophisticated? Have they gotten more particular about how they share it and the ways that they share it? Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
I think they've just gotten more people involved. Like, it's just a bigger job now.
Yeah.
This is the first celebration. Like, the last celebrations that I was working as press, it was just Lucasfilm's two, like, full-time press people, and they were handling Clone Wars, and that was it. And that was the only big news coming out of conventions. You'd deal with publicists from licensees and stuff, but now Disney's got a team working on Force Awakens. Disney's got a team here. Like, working on Tomorrowland.
Battlefront, there's a person here from their franchise team.
Like, there's just so many people here. Plus, those same two full-time people from Lucasfilm are still here working on Rebels and still handling Clone Wars stuff. In fact, I'm going to leave here and go over to the Clone Wars panel next, and they're going to be all over there. So it's gotten bigger. I don't think their approach has changed all that much.
Well, I think that it's, you know, it's the same transformation that happened to Apple. You know, as Apple products became insanely popular, their PR started, you know, being more sparing. And also they realized that they could be, that they could get away with not saying anything, and that we would still write about it.
Yeah, and that happens with Lucasfilm all the time. Oh, yeah. They stop confirming or denying.
Like that's changed, though. I mean, like, they talk to me as much now as they did when...
Off the record, yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Okay. Well, the pre-existing relationship notwithstanding, I mean, they still, you know, even you, they will not answer your emails.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
But then, but like I'm saying, like, that's been...
That was the way it was.
I've been getting my emails not answered from them pretty regularly from the beginning. Okay. Thank you all for coming. Really quickly before we go, where can everyone find you on social media?
Across the board, Eric. I'm not really on the internet, but I guess I tweet a little bit, actually, if you want to follow me, twitter.com/Eric Geller, ericgeller.
And I'm Future Boy. I would also have a copy of the book to give away.
Okay.
I guess I should ask a hard question for it, because this is a hardcore crowd.
How do you spell Annie?
What are the two spellings?
Yeah, Anakin, put your hand down.
Now, I'll tell you what, I'll throw out this really hardcore question. The Kessel Run at 12 parsecs, right? We all know that's a distance of, unit of distance, not a unit of time. There is an explanation in the shooting script for why Han Solo says that. And come up and see me after. First person to come up and see me afterwards. we'll get a signed copy of the book.
I don't have a book, but I'm on Twitter at Amy_Geek.
I'm on Twitter at as Club Jade.
And I'm Swankmotron. SWANKMOTRO.
Brian has the best Twitter.
The swankiest.
There's a funny story about that. Back when I was like in high school playing video games, I thought it was hilarious to be Darth Swank. So like that was where it grew up. It was Darth Swank, because Swank was like a...
It's hilarious.
An adult magazine. So like Darth adult magazine. That I thought that was funny. And then when we did Big Shiny Robot, it was like, how can I change this into a robot name?
Now there's a niche. Someone needs to start that magazine.
Find that niche.
Darth Swank.
But that's a panel for a different time.
Yeah.
Probably not here.
Yeah.
No.
No.
So, thank you guys for coming.
Thank you.